on the board, we kind of shared so that they get a basic understanding. And this was the precursor to then the last meeting we had with our training, which went through. So I have found in the past, if you guys hadn't seen it yet, you hadn't shared it with the judges, but it kind of puts us on the same level and talking the same talk.
That's worked well.
And understanding. So we just printed it out. So if it's deemed part of the conversation and we can work it in, then we've got copies.
You already had a copy.
Nan's got it already.
There you go.
Kim's probably seen it 2 or 3 times, but we went over. And it's pretty basic. We said we just wanted something at a third grade level to give us an understanding of how we work together. So the old legislation is what we had prior to WIOA, and then the second is the WIOA part.
Can you hear okay, Matt?
It's a little light, but I can hear. I'm good. Thank you.
No speaker. Okay. Well, are you thinking you may get it working, or are we just going to have to do the best we can?
I think we might. Matt, can you try the Skype again?
Okay, hang on. Let me put this on me.
No.
Can we just hang up and call you again?
Yeah, let's try that. Yeah.
I've said it several times, and I can't get a free afternoon to drive over and see you, and I just want to pick your brain.
We'll be glad to do that.
We're going into a big building project, or a big project. You know, I don't know what we need to be building.
I understand. Be glad to. We're close to completion of the addition, which second week in September, I think, is a part of occupied it.
Did you put any treatment beds in? Just specifically treatment beds? You built a jail.
Department of Corrections recommended, we talked about that they didn't support us on that.
Really?
So this was 2 years ago. The perspective may have changed. I suspect it has. But yeah, it was not recommended. The focus was on the isolation cells, expanded beds. You know, we 87 beds, we averaged about 175. That's where we were.
Is that better?
Yes.
Safety, primarily.
Although I don't see you now. But I can hear you. This all worked yesterday when we tested it. Now we hear you, but we can't see you.
Yeah, okay, just keep going, and I'll catch up on video just a second. I'll figure out what's going on with the video.
Okay. So your packet, just so everyone knows, it's got the side-by-side of the partnership agreement, the two versions, the one that was approved by the LEOs and the one that was proposed by the WIB. In addition to that, it has all four policies that Mayor Gray requested. And then in the back, There's the actual excerpts from the law regarding the hiring of staff, and also what little it has to say about a partnership agreement. They don't call it that, but when they talk about, you know, the WIB and the chief elected officials may enter into an agreement that describes their respective roles and responsibilities, that is what they're referring to. So that's your packet. And on June 28th, you all were the lucky nominees to represent the WIB and the governing board. And I went back and listened to the audio, and the orders are that this long process that has gone on for, I guess, nearly 2 years, that you all will bring that to a close today. And the goal is to leave the meeting with an agreed-upon partnership agreement. So, that being said...
Oh, well, that was the motion.
Yes. The motion was that you would work out the details of the partnership agreement, and then once that decision had been agreed upon, it does go back to each board. But I believe that the faith and confidence in both boards was that you all will work that out and they will abide by your decision today.
Can I ask one quick question? The WIB is a proposed board. The board has not approved that yet, is
that
correct?
The WIB has not approved that version. It was discussed in a WIB meeting, but it was not voted on.
I thought that it was, because it, taking it forward, we had taken it to the board to be able to go on to take it to that next level.
I don't know if we voted on it. I know
it was not voted on. There was no motion, and you're more than welcome. I can provide you with the audio and the minutes, but it was not voted on. It was discussed, and it was tabled without a motion.
I brought up, why would we put something in that we know for sure that the Leos are not going to approve? It seemed then doomed for disaster, as in we're not going to reach an agreement if we had that element in, and I was trying to understand why the information on the, what was under appeal was being put in there, why we thought it was necessary, and what the intention was, is there another way to word it, etc. So we did have then subsequent conversation on it, and went over here, there, then we kind of ran out of time, or someone left for quorum, or whatever it was, is kind of my recollection. So, but bottom line is, there are only a few things, I think, that are dividing us and or that we can't agree on. So, if everything else looks pretty good, if we can just figure out what those areas are and what our assurance is that we need, and then understand where we can come together. But talking about it gives us an opportunity to work it through and understand where both sides are, so that hopefully we can come up with a way to word that meets our needs as the WIB and working for the Leos. Because as we said in this local agreement, and with the legislation, you know, you're with Toyota, I'm with Little Nicholas County, we have bankers, we have healthcare professionals, we have a lot of really top-notch people on this board. But here's the guys who know what their populace wants and the needs and where we want to head. So what we're doing has to be headed down the way that our 17 counties kind of want to go. So it's looking at how we work together, and they are basically our bosses, plus they're on the hook for all this money. So understanding that, that was the idea of going through this again. So knowing that, how can we can best get an agreement that meets all the needs so that we can do the best job on their behalf and with them, and how we partner together.
Right. And this is intended to be a partnership, no question about that. Yeah. That's what we want to have happen. And certainly each of the elected folks bring their perspective and their information from their communities. But I would also submit that we also have the businesses that actually employ are the ones that really know what they need and how they can best move folks from not being employed to being employed and being productive and providing, you know, good growth and profit so that everybody benefits.
Right.
You know, communities and all.
I worked on our work ready application, and what we identified is exactly what you're talking about. We have to make sure that we're getting kids out of high school and into colleges or directly able to go work at these businesses. As economic development director, I'm not going to get anybody else to come to my county if they call my current employers who say, I can't find anybody. I can't find enough workers.
Right.
And Fleming County found that one of their businesses uses metric, and the school was not teaching it. What a disconnect. So it's the idea of how do we find out and better work with our businesses to find out what they need, and then find out from the judge executive's input there, and then the WIB, with the two of those, is down the middle putting together suggestions and programs that will meet those needs, so that we're getting more jobs for our folks, we're meeting the needs of our businesses. So I'm totally on board with what you're saying. So
I don't think we're very far apart in this thing, guys. You know, the proxies, I really don't like the use of proxies, but I wouldn't fight over that. And I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for the Leo. But I wouldn't fight about there's some issues about replacing some language, rules and regulations with regulations and policies. I don't have a problem with any of that. I think where the Leos are going to take exception and where I would take exception is on, there's several places it looks like where the Cleos are going to conduct oversight business. And I just don't think that's going to fly with the Leo board. I think the governing board, executive committee, that's what our local, as I recall, that's what our local agreement calls for. And I think they will take exception to that, and I think they'll take exception to the fact that I've read this thing about two or three times.
So the one thing here, did we put in the Cochleos instead of the government board? Is that an R?
Let's go back and mark off the ones that, let's come to those agreements real quick then. So the first page, basically, there's no changes, we're all in agreement, correct?
That's what it looks like for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then on the second page,
so number one, removes the governing board executive committee. So you're saying that you'd want that back in, and for some reason we took it out.
What I'm trying to do is let's go through the ones that Harold was suggesting that we probably can agree on, and get those off the table so that we know where we are, since you raised that first. So the...
So the second box down, is that the one you're talking about?
There are a couple places. I think probably on page 2 of 5, I think we probably take exception to most of those, and I can come back to that. Okay. But now, Mike, you speak up.
I would agree. I agree.
I think that's where our exceptions are going to be, and then let me see if I've got any other notes.
But I guess my question is... it was the WIB that suggested Cochleo versus governing board executive. Was there a reason that WIB?
Let's not mix the things.
I thought that was the item he brought up.
What he's wanting to do is eliminate the ones that we don't have any disagreement on. Get down to where we what we do agree on and go from there. But I think probably if you look at 2, 3, and 4, again, my notes are not the best that I've made here. 2, 3, and 4 on page 2, we probably are going to take exception to some of those.
Okay, so we've got definitely conversation.
Right. 2, 3, 4. Page 3, it looks like we're all in agreement on page 3.
Actually.
On number 5.
Right, number 4, top which starts on page
is part of 4.
2. There is
a continuation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
right.
So number 5 is going to change.
So six was one, item number six was one that you mentioned in the proxies. Because proxies are permitted per the policy. And from a business perspective, I think, again, that's one of the things that's really important. You know, we want these high-level business folks to be on these boards. They all travel, and, you know, they obviously want to do their best to be in attendance at all meetings. But if they can't make it and can't do something electronically, then being able to voice their opinion appropriately, not for quorum perspectives, but for decision-making under those provisions, being able to fulfill their duties of being able to provide input. So, I mean, that was the whole purpose behind that. And the policy does allow it to be able to be used.
And Kim, I had a question on that one. I know that, like, one of the policies around having our standing committees or some of our committees have a person on that committee such that it's not a member of the board, once again. So David and I, for example, talked about having a colleague from the accounting and audit background sit on the finance committee. Does that cover that need? I just wonder if we're not going to let them vote, or are we just knowing that we're going to engage others, do we need that sentence in there? Because if I send an alternate for me and they're not voting, I mean, that's, I don't know, I just wonder if we need that.
Well, I think that was the whole point behind the proxy, is to allow the vote to happen, to express your views as that board member, that you're representing that area of responsibility, whether that's logistics or manufacturing or IT or whatever the case may be, small business, and being having someone from that same area, category, business in this case, being able to express those views on your behalf. I think committees and having non-board members on committees, I think that's another issue, and I think it's a very valid issue and a very beneficial issue, because it brings more expertise to the board through the committee structure and helps disseminate the work and those kinds of things so that we can get the best products possible. But I think those are two separate issues.
Yeah. And I am super concerned in that we're going to have to people that haven't been vetted by those companies, right? So that's the main concern.
So is there concern on the Leo side on the proxy you had mentioned? You
were, six.
Item six, understanding the intent. Is it objectionable?
Define for me what you mean by proxy. Are you saying that someone, and I have a general understanding of the word.
Sure.
In this particular case, that
right.
Someone, say, from you could select someone, one of your colleagues at Toyota, to attend a meeting on your behalf,
right,
or matter, whoever that might be, and have the power to cast a vote in the board overall, in anything
right.
that the board may vote on.
You're asking them to vote or just represent your opinion?
Well, it would actually be a vote, but it would be the opinion of the board member.
So it could be
a colleague from Toyota, or it could be another member of the board in the same category that is able to cast the opinion on their behalf. All that has to be pre-approved.
Okay, I have a problem with that because they don't have the history, they haven't been to the past meetings, they're voting on just one meeting on one issue without that background, and voting, having not heard the discussion. You may have said, I'm not sure I'm for this issue, I want you to vote against it.
Right.
Then we hear information, have new information, or there's something new that happens, and you would have changed your mind and voted yes. You weren't there, you can't fill them in, they can't be in your head. Mm-hmm. So I personally am not comfortable with that.
I am. because, again, from a business perspective, we want to make sure that we've got their opinions there. Granted, I totally understand and this potential of maybe hearing something new and being able to sway a vote, but short of that, it's a matter of being able to still have your voice heard and your opinion based on that area of expertise brought to the table. I mean, they may be able to bring extra information to the table on behalf of that member as well.
I wouldn't mind having them put information, but having a non-member vote is what I am uncomfortable with. Matt, what is your thought on having a proxy come in and vote versus just give information?
Well, I'm trying to think of how I would use that. So, for example, if I could make a meeting and I had a strong opinion about something, most likely I would call Tracy, you, Kim, you, David Boggs, other people that I'm working with more directly and make sure that my opinion was represented. But I don't think that I have somebody that would have the background that could represent knowledge board, unless they were already attending and fully engaged. I absolutely respect what Kim is saying and having that, but I just, for me, I don't see a situation where I would be surprised.
We have utilized it once before, but it was another board member that had the background, had the activity, and certainly could change their vote if it's the same, or it may be different than the board member that's asking for the proxy. That was the way that was envisioned, not necessarily somebody to just come in and vote yes or no on whatever that topic was.
I got to ask this procedural question. I don't know the answer. If does a proxy count toward a quorum?
No.
It depends on your bylaws. And just from looking at that situation, it doesn't seem to make any sense that they wouldn't count toward a quorum, but they could vote. I mean, that in many places, proxies are there to listen and gather the information, take it back to whoever they're representing so that they know what's going on, but they neither vote nor have it count as quorum.
Yeah. The way this was set up, it was not to be part of the quorum. Because that's the kind of the incentive or the push to try and make sure folks make the meeting unless there's something that prevents it.
Okay, if they can vote.
So you want to add the vote part and okay. So what I'm hearing is Leo's aren't comfortable with that. You are, I'm not. And then so it's just figuring out where Matt stands on the issue too.
Of course.
Did we lose him?
No. I just need to unlock it.
What's that?
I just need to unlock it.
Oh, okay. So Matt, if it comes down to voting to keep that in or out, would you be willing to keep in not permitting proxies or alternatives to stand in for WIB members so they can't vote and they're not part of quorum? Or would you like it to be part of, they can vote but they can't be part of quorum? Those are the two things we're looking at.
Can you hear us, Matt?
I would say, Chip, God love you.
Okay, sorry.
My opinion is,
I'm sorry, I'll just leave it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. So my opinion would be that I think that we would just use, if they are not, if they do not count as quorum, there would have to be enough representation there already for us to have quorum, because we have a very specific need to have 51% business representation. So if they don't have they don't count towards quorum, then I don't see that we should allow a proxy. I mean, we know my feelings and what my thoughts should be if I can't.
So is that being able to cast your vote or not?
Well, I don't think you should cast my vote.
Okay, so I can't quite hear.
I'm right here, and I have trouble hearing. So.
Is that your maximum volume?
Yeah, I believe it is. A little bit more. All right, try again.
So, Matt, are you saying you want them to be able to cast a vote or not cast the vote? That's our question.
Not cast a vote.
Okay, so we have two for not cast a vote, one for cast a vote. If the Leos are all in favor of not cast a vote, then I think we're at agreement that we keep in the sentence that Bluegrass WIB shall not permit proxies or alternatives to stand in for WIB members. Would that be correct? We have 5-1 on that vote.
I think that makes sense based on governance models that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
Kim, I think okay. It's
do we need a motion? How are we handling this committee?
I'll offer the motion that the... Well, I think we're just working stuff out. We don't need
good.
A motion, do we?
No,
I don't think it needs a motion.
Good. No. Okay, so that's decided. Where are we next?
I don't take any exception to the changes the WIB board wants to make in item 7. Mike, I don't know if you do or not.
I do not.
I have no issues with that. I think those are fine.
And item 9 is duration. 6 months versus having no minimum. Is there a reason?
What? Wait a minute.
Oh. This one for me is rather interesting.
Which one, Matt?
Number 9.
Okay.
Yeah, so this one, I want to make sure everybody's aware, like when we talk about the notice and everything. When we talk, I do a lot of two-party, third-party contracts, and the termination shall be effective at a midnight on June 30th date. It's just interesting because if you were to fire us today, you'd have to live with us for a really, really long time. So I would just suggest that we put something in there that's a 30-60-day kind of idea and just leave it at that and not make it date specific. I understand that we're trying to tie it to like a fiscal end and a program end, but that's just a... I think everybody would be really unhappy if we had to go through that exercise.
And we need enough time to get replacements in, et cetera, to keep everything working, correct? Is that a concern?
I think what Matt was offering was possibly a 30 or 60-day alternative.
Right. But I'm saying, would it make sense because, you know, these gears run slow to go more towards the 60 or 90 versus the 30 is what I'm throwing out to add to that.
Well, I think we've got two issues here. One is the question of how much notice we got to give of termination.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first issue. The second one is termination shall be when it was going to be effective. And I think he was saying it needs to be, we need to be able to make it effective before June 30th. Is that what you got?
Mm.
No?
No, I mean, I think basically this was the June 30th was put in there because of the fiscal year and kind of the restart of everything.
Right.
With contracts and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Right.
I think the issue, and again, when we started this, we were, you know, we've been at this for a long time. So in some cases, you know, in this conversation, we were less than 6 months, so it would have been a whole other cycle if before you could actually terminate. I mean, I think Matt's suggestion, I think, of, you know, adding something minimal 30, 60 days, you know, that makes sense, so that there is an ability to transition. but it's not an extended period of time. You know, the way it's set up right in the first column is a half a year. So, but if we move that to 30 days, 60 days, that's fine.
I see what you're saying. You then you're okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with that. Mike, I don't know what you think.
I would agree with Tracy saying 60 days, 30 days.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. That makes sense.
You don't get much of anything done, I don't think.
So you're saying 60 days notice. We all recognize it's going to terminate on June the 30th.
Right.
But 60 days notice is sufficient rather than 6 months.
Right.
At least.
Okay.
It could be 6 months, but at least. Are you saying at least 60 days or a minimum of 60 days?
Or it could terminate at any point with 60 days notice.
Yeah, but the at least 60 days gives us just an opportunity that it can be any time before. It doesn't limit you. You just want to be careful. You don't say it has to be exactly 60 days. I had an apartment lease right out of college that did that, right? And I can only terminate one day of the year. We don't want to limit that. So I think you want to say at least 60 days.
But then to your point, Kim, if we miss the 6 months out and it's a whole year again, narrowing it down to that at least 60 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot tighter, a lot tighter.
Yeah, I think the reason that June 30th could be interesting is that if we are signing contracts that have expiration dates, we don't want to assign a contract that would expire or be at risk of expiring after we would be terminated. So I think that being able to align things to a fiscal year is interesting. I just would, I would say that would be a really rare statement to say that you want to do it on June 30th.
So at least 60 sounds reasonable?
If I understand what we're saying around the table, is we can terminate at any time with at least 60 days notice.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
With at least 60.
So you strike the last part and just say at least 60 days notice. Is that correct?
In advance of terminating.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I hear you say.
Right. So basically the June 30th goes away.
Right. Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm
comfortable with that.
Is that okay, Matt?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Page, right? So we're back at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's back to
page two.
We asked for folios versus the governing board executive committee. What was the thinking behind folios? Why did we want that versus the governing board?
Because that's what the law says and that's what the policy says. The folios are operating with the direction of the board. The governing board vote. And so, you know, being consistent with the law. Again, I think this is one of those areas where there is this shifting of power. Because if we go back to when this was set up again under WIOA, basically, business had walked away from it, and part of the agreement was that instead of having a traditional single CLIO, that there would be this co-CLIO arrangement so that there would be some balance in some viewpoints until things could be worked out. By not having the co-CLIO being the window here, then it automatically goes, and what's being proposed is the governing board, which it's one vote potentially out of the total, which has been the issue previously. So, again, trying to keep some balance to this if there are areas that we're all in disagreement. And so by shifting this from co-CLIOs, which the law says and the policy says, to the governing board, it deteriorates, in my opinion.
It's not co-CLIOs in the other areas, right? We're the only one with a co-CLIO?
Right.
So I don't see how the law would say co-CLIO. That's
it's CLIO, and in this case, it's co-CLIO.
So the law says CLIO, not the governing board, is what you're saying?
Right.
Actually, even in the policy, the reason that's in there like that is it is taken from the interlocal agreement where the LEOs decided that it would be by the governing board that those decisions would be made. And the policy 15002 on page 3, it's the second full paragraph.
So which
15002. It's on page 3. It says, in addition to the interlocal agreement, the LEOs shall also enter into a partnership agreement with the WIB. The interlocal agreement and the partnership agreement, which are the two governing documents, must be consistent, which is why it was written as the governing body as opposed to just the CLIO.
Right. But this also provides the board with a voice in what that consistent direction should be.
I don't understand.
I'm not sure I understand either.
So you guys have done your interlocal agreement. So the partnership agreement is where the WIB is able to bring their views to the table. And so if we are automatically defaulting to what the interlocal agreement says to be consistent, then we have no voice in that. That's why this has been part of that.
Not sure why the WIB would want to have a voice in saying how the CLIOs and the LEOs run their side of the business anyway.
That's part of the why we went back to the beginning here. We're really serving them. They're on the hook for the money, so we're supposed to be working
with them. Is not consistent with the WIOA.
Right.
That's what
right.
Kim's point of view.
Yes, it is.
Mabel, you said it is. So
it
there's
is.
A big difference there. Because
I mean,
you're saying one thing. You got a different thing right here. So what's accurate?
This is your policy on page 3. You said it says that your partnership agreement has to be consistent with the interlocal, and the interlocal defines not just the co-CLIOs but the governing board as making those decisions.
If that's the case, I mean, Kim, you seem to think that it's not consistent with the WIOA.
Is there a different way to say this? And I'm just wondering out loud. It feels like, from the WIB board, we want to be aligned with the voice of the judge executives, Mayor Gray. I mean, we want to be aligned with your voice. But whatever that voice is that you say is correct, representative of you as your interlocal agreement, whatever that voice is called, as long as it's truly representative, can we just reflect that in here? Do we have to call out the specific entity? I mean, I can see what we want to do it for efficiency, but...
Well, yeah, our interlocal basically says, and we've applied this several times where there's been a difference between point of view by Harold and me, and if the co-CLIOs don't agree, then it goes to the governing board. And it's worked pretty efficiently.
Right.
So can we add that part? It is the co-CLIOs, but if they don't agree, then it goes to the governing board. Can we just add that to it?
Well, I mean, that's what
the
guidelines say.
What's the problem?
Yeah, so... Yeah,
and that's fine.
So then we just say what you just said.
Well, I don't know whether you don't...
Co-CLIOs, and if not agreed, it goes to the governing board. That's just reflecting how you handle it.
Is that how you're doing it?
The declaration of reality is your point,
or is your question?
What's
that? It's the declaration of what reality is and how things are working today. Is that what you're asking?
If it is now, it goes to the co-CLIOs don't agree, it goes to the executive board. We reflect that here to say exactly that. It doesn't change anything you're doing. if both co-CLEOs agree, is that mm-hmm. So excellent point, Matt. That could work.
Not the full board, really, or
executive board, if that's what the...
You know, they just seem to be add another step in here. That's what you've done, is add another step in here.
It's the current policy, isn't it?
Well, that's what the interlocal says. So what's the... What is... But if it does...
Could Curtis say something like, if this is done according to the direction of the interlocal agreement between the, et cetera, et cetera, if we just say that and we're just following your already agreed upon policy and process, I just don't want to be too specific about how you make your decisions. I just want to hear your voice and act accordingly.
But we do want to, let's dial back just to 3 minutes here. What if the new guidelines are telling us that it is the governing board, then we don't want to. I'm still struggling.
The new guidelines say...
It starts with the co-CLEOs, and then if they don't agree, then it goes to the governing board.
The new guidelines?
The new guidelines say that the partnership agreement has to be consistent with the interlocal.
Well, then the interlocal, that's what the interlocal says.
And the interlocal says the governing board.
Well, no. Well, the interlocal says co-CLEOs. If co-CLEOs don't agree, then it goes to the governing board.
Correct.
Applied that... Routine, right. several times.
And what Matt's saying is, instead of saying co-CLEOs or governing board, say, per the interlocal agreement. It's broad, it still covers it, it's still specific. Then it's understood that it's co-CLEOs, and if you can't agree, then it's your governing board. It's whatever's listed in that interlocal agreement. We're acknowledging your agreement agreeing to go...
You're not there quite yet, are you?
I'm trying to wade through all of this, and I'm not objecting at this point, but I'm trying to figure out why we need to put in there that it's, why not just let the full governing board make the decision?
Why the extra step?
Why the extra step?
Why is it in the interlocal agreement?
Well, it's in the interlocal agreement because the co-CLEO was a whole new animal.
Right. And this is on the selection, right?
Yeah.
And the way we've done it in the past is the governing board has done it. The full governing board.
Right.
I don't see a reason to go to the mat on this myself or to, exhaust it. Kim, I understand what you're saying about the voice, but I do think that, based on the past, those voices are all going to be represented one way or another in the selection process. Am I missing something?
I'm just trying to streamline it.
Yeah. Huh?
I'm just trying to streamline it because it starts with the co-CLEO. That's the designation. That's why you have.
I will tell you. I think if we, I'm just to be honest. I think if we take this back to the board, Leo's. They're not going to accept. They're not going to accept that. I'll just tell you. I think they're going to say it's got to be approval of the governing board. Now, I might be wrong, Mike. You know as much about them as I do. I'm willing to hear what you've got to say.
So I agree. It's still
agree.
Letting.
It's still been letting resolve continually.
So are you adamant that you want it to be co-CLEOs, or would you be okay with governing board executive committee? I mean, I know you're trying to streamline, but if that's the reality, is the governing board executive committee, and that's how they decide to work, do we want to tell them that they have to do a certain way, or would you be okay with that broader, just putting that in? And Matt, will you give some thought to that?
From my perspective, there's nothing in an arrangement or a relationship with the LIB board that would suggest that I want to dictate how that group makes their decisions. Right. I only want to know that decision is final.
So, right. I think that's a good point, that decision is final.
Yeah.
So right. I just want to be able to execute that process, and I don't want to have to go, well, did you go check with so-and-so? That's not going to be efficient. So if we can phrase that in such a way that is their decision and we're acting on the outcome of what they voted or their process, and I think that's all we should say. We should not dictate how they make their decisions.
And I was not suggesting that. But the whole point of CLIA's is a point of contact and starting point. Again, trying to be as clear as possible. You have in your agreement, if there's a disagreement, how it's resolved, and that's all you guys. So if we have this in here as the governing board, then is it our responsibility to contact all of the governing board or to contact?
No, I think
it says executive committee. Of the
executive committee, and I think the executive committee can come. If there's a negotiation, you come with a motion, or not with a motion, but with a past resolution or whatever you choose, however you choose to communicate. But I think he makes a good point. Matt makes a good point. At some point, you need to know that it's over. It's not, you know, that Mayor Gray and I have disagreed on something. Now it's got to go back and you add another layer. I think we just leave it governing board business in there. That's my take on it.
So how many contact points are we talking about now? How many are on the executive?
Seven.
Committee?
There's seven, but I think it's incumbent on the CLIOs to talk with the executive board.
That's my point. That's my point.
But if they want to bring something to the WIB board, they don't bring it to all the members.
No.
Wouldn't they bring it to Mabel and she disseminate it or take it to you first?
Well, they should be bringing it to the chair.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you so want someone designated as who you take it to?
Well, I think that was kind of the whole point here. So if we're taking it to the CLIOs and then you guys take it to the board.
You just want to know who the contact is, the board we take it to. And they could designate, hey, if you've got something, this is the person we want you to give it to, or give it to Mabel to give to them, or something of that. That's more of a behind-the-scenes process, I think, than what we're looking at here. I don't know that we have to get my opinion is I don't know that we have to get that specific. It's going to go to the executive board. It doesn't say we have to talk to all the members or take it to all the members or anything. If we notify somebody on the executive board, in our case, as you said, yes, it would come to you. We have, because we have the chair.
Right, but we have internal processes for what Kim is, you know, is able to make those decisions and everything else. But when Kim makes a decision, we have it's representative that he's followed our bylaws and processes and he represents the board. And that's what I would like to see on the other side. That I would like to see neither spelled correctly.
Neither.
So in my mind, the question is, do we use the CoCLIOs as the avenue, or do we create another contact point with the executive committee?
Well, I think you can use us as the avenue, but I don't think we need to. I don't think we need to get into the saying to determining that the CLIOs make this decision. That's separate and apart completely from the other. I will tell you, the other judges will not accept that. I'll just tell you ahead of time.
But why
and
don't we?
It's whatever process you use as co-CLIOs to come up with that decision.
Well, but if
I'm
it
not
goes
trying
to the governing board, you're trying to say that it would go to the governing board executive committee with notification given to either or both of the CLIOs. You want to know who the contact point is. I'm not saying it has to go to the CLIOs first. It's going to the governing board. So, hey, governing board, you know.
I don't think that the Leos are going to accede or agree to turning decision making over to the co-CLIOs. I just don't think that's going to happen.
How you guys decide what you do is just a matter of we deal with the co-CLIOs, and we're not dealing with seven people every time we have.
Now, I'm gonna tear that up.
Every time we have a decision.
Well, I think what Tracy said may work.
You wanted to know who the point of contact was. The governing board executive committee is going to make that decision. That's who we put in there.
And that's
but we can notify via either one of the co-CLIOs, so you know you're dealing with one or two people, not six. That's what I was hearing you say. So if it's governing board with notice being given by via to the executive board, that you only have to notify one of the two, one or both.
I don't see anything wrong with that, but I will tell you, the governing board's going to want to make these sorts of decisions.
Well, this is not
we don't want to change the process. Governing board makes it. It's just who do we know about.
I think those of us who are in these elected roles probably, it's not unfamiliar to us because routinely it will say the city council or the commissioners will make the decision. So, and we don't get to that decision until you take a vote. And so I think we're saying the same thing here, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
The governing board, the council.
The council's going to make the decision.
The magistrates are going to make the decision.
Even though you speak for Flexington and I speak for Boyle County very often, and I'm the point of contact and you're the point of contact. Mm-hmm. But if I entered an agreement, it would say always with the consent of the Boyle Fishing Corp.
Right. Sure.
Everyone would do
so
that.
So I think that's what we're...
That's what we're trying to word.
And both CLIOs are on the governing board. Executive committee.
So, in my mind, it's the co-CLIOs with the consent of the governing board.
I don't know why you want to put the co-CLIOs in there. Why don't you just say the consent of the governing board and leave it at that?
Okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to be difficult.
No,
it sounds like
he's okay.
Okay.
I'm okay. Matt, would you be okay with that?
I'm absolutely okay. I don't want to dictate their process. But I absolutely respect Kim's point. We don't want a ton of different contacts, so this sounds good.
So we're agreed.
So do we have an understanding then if we funnel stuff through you guys as the co-CLIOs to be able to get the things done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clarify for me. Are you changing the language or are you not?
We're going back to the governing board executive committee.
I think the original is what we're leaving.
Okay. With a correction on the spelling, Matt.
With a correction on spelling.
Where is neither spelled incorrectly? I didn't
right know. Right here. Nether.
Nether. The.
Oh, Lord. Good. It sounds like something out of Chaucer, doesn't it? Yes. Nether. Oh, well. Okay.
And then the last sentence in that number two was taken out because it's redundant, because it's in the policy. But they can't do that anyway. So.
Well, this was written before that was a policy.
And this was updated when it was, so.
So is that the second part that's crossed out, the entities selected pursuant?
Yes.
Okay, so that's no longer, is that correct?
There are, that is the case here in the Bluegrass WIB, there are still local areas that do provide the direct services.
Okay, but this is our
support,
agreement, so
yes.
It does not apply. As Kim is pointing out.
Yeah, we would. Yes.
Are we on the same page? Matt, are you there? Section 2?
Yep. I'm with you.
So that is no longer accurate. The last highlighted part, entities selected pursuant to this paragraph shall not provide administrative support to the Bluegrass WIB or governing board. That is no longer correct.
If you're a one-stop operator or a direct service provider, you will not provide.
I don't see any problem. Yeah. Unless somebody's got some, I don't see any problem. Do you see any problem with that?
So
I don't see any problem with that
down.
Change.
Right. So all agree.
Agreed.
So we strike the last one.
So what was that with those changes? Are we down to item 4?
3. But it's the same as the
right.
Which
we've already gone to government board,
that.
So that's agreed.
Okay.
So then item 4, 3 significant changes. What do we need yet to address? So I guess it's what do the Leos object to on the suggestion of the WIV version there, item 4.
Let me read through this. You all go ahead. I find this confusing. This has to do with the hiring of staff, and if I read this correctly, the difference is that the Leos, what we passed, we want to be able to have a voice in the hiring of staff. Is that what the difference is here?
Yes. Kim, would we have a problem with the Leos having a voice in hiring a staff?
Well, that's been the bone of contention since the last board, that of being able to hire their own staff. And the position was at that point that under WIA, that there had to be this approval. WIOA does not require that. WIOA very clearly says the board can hire staff with budget that has been approved by the Leos, as long as it's reasonable and for the right functions to be able to support the board. So, you know.
So that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah. So basically what we're saying is this is what the law says, and we have the ability to do that. Les Range from DOL very clearly told me that you have the authority to hire today to be able to do that.
Reasonable and allowable, but it has to say in the budget, and we've got to get the buy-in.
Yeah, so my question, though, just as I look at this, and this is just a question, is that if the Leos in the board are giving us a budget, we don't call out other things like administrative expenses or other pieces that we're doing. If we essentially align to the budget, we go execute the budget. Do we have to call this out as something that's there, knowing that it's referenced and allowable in WIO and other places? Do we just need to do that, or are we just trying to make a point that we can?
No, I mean, I think we need to be very transparent, and you know, that becomes part of the budget. And that's the test of, you know, is it reasonable and those kinds of things. Again, the whole idea here is for us all to be able to function and to be able to operate, to provide the services that we need to provide. In order for us to get to the model that, you know, we've been talking about since we started under WIOA, you know, utilizing this best practice, that dictates that we have staff to be able to do that. So basically what this does is it acknowledges the fact that we can do that within the law and within the policies.
My question is just whether or not this is, and I absolutely respect that this has been a point of contention in the past, but I just look at this as being something that's referenced in another place as allowable for us to do, and this becomes a redundant statement. And just in the spirit of getting this partnership agreement done, I mean, if we want to call it out for transparency, transmitter grants if we can, but I just wonder if this is even necessary to say, knowing that through the budgeting process we could go do this anyway, regardless of whether the sentence is in, or this paragraph is in there.
So it's already covered with current legislation. We don't need to state it. If we don't state it and go with current legislation, would the LEOs have a problem with that if it's already covered in the current legislation?
What the legislation says is that the WIB may hire staff, and that certainly has never been contested in any way. With the approval of the LEOs in the budget, the WIB can hire staff. When Les Range was here, I also discussed this with him, and what Les said was that just because the WIB may hire staff doesn't mean that only the WIB may hire staff.
Sure.
There is nothing that precludes it from being a joint process. In fact, in a healthy, functioning workforce area, it is a joint process.
And I would hope that it could be.
Exactly. Hence the language.
Do you see us needing to hire staff?
Yes.
So you're not happy with the current staff
reviews? For us to...
On the point that's there, because I think that could take us into a much longer, deeper, darker place. If we take out this paragraph, it's the contentious paragraph, it doesn't limit us from doing any of the things the board wants to do. And leaving it in is just additional transparency, just in the interest of this conversation today. It doesn't hurt anything to cut it out, is what I would suggest. And if that aligns us and we get to move on...
I'll second the take it out. Would you be happy if we took out that? Because it's already covered in WIOLA anyway?
Well, I'm trying to think it through here. You know, as I recall, our position as LEOs has always been we want to be a part of hiring staff that we use. I don't think we've ever just said that the WIB board cannot hire their own staff. I don't think we've ever said that, if it's budgeted. But I think we've always said other, if it's not specifically for WIB, for the WIB board, we want it to be a part of that process. And here's why. I know what we're going to hear as soon as we take it back. We ultimately are responsible for what that person does. That's ultimately what they're going to say, that ultimately the WIB board can walk away and they would have no responsibility. But Mike Williams and Harold McKinney and Mayor Gray, we can't walk away. And that's why that's in there.
Yeah, but are you more concerned about, and I just look at the other fiscal responsibilities, I look at the $11, $12 million we're representing, you don't call those out as being a specific concern, and those are much bigger dollar values than necessarily having a set of staff that you would have to approve at a budget line level anyway. It feels like we already call out that we're allowed to do it. You're setting the budget for us to do it. I'm not sure this language is going to help you at all. I mean, I'm okay with leaving it in as well. I mean, we're still going to act in the exact same way as we would as if the language was taken out. But I absolutely respect that you need to be a part of it. You're accountable for it, and I want to make sure that you're comfortable with whatever we do. I don't think the language helps or hurts us.
When you think about other budget, I am not sure of your point being that why be concerned with that versus another one. It's the people, the staff, that can, as Judge McKinney said, can really get us in trouble. We would anticipate that won't happen, but that's where the potential is for that. I agree. I don't think the LEOs would be comfortable in declaring that we don't have any say in who the staff is.
So we get to pick. We just take it for approval for the budget and for who the people are, is what this is asking for. And I'm just trying to understand.
Part of that is a matter of timing. You know, does that mean you can hire staff after the budget is approved? And then basically, at that point, you have no say. Just because you approve the budget, and then 3 months later, hire someone, I'm not sure I understand how that keeps you from being holding the bag, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think technically we could, you could set the budget, allow it for staff, we could hire people without your review. I guess that is a good point. But, you know, so leaving it in, I just, again, I don't feel like if you feel passionate that it needs to be done, I'll support it again. But it feels like it's redundant as well. But again, I'm fine with leaving it in.
So you're fine with leaving in the director and key management with the executive? The highlighted area in the first column, you are comfortable leaving in. Is that correct, Matt?
I don't think it's going to cause us to operate any different. I mean, if I'm trying to support the Leos and execute their strategy, I absolutely want them to be as engaged as they want to be in making these decisions. And so I don't care if it's there as well. I'm going to act in the exact same way. So I'm comfortable leaving it in.
But I am also comfortable leaving it in.
I am not.
Okay.
Because for one main reason, because if we find the greatest person since sliced bread, and for whatever reason, one of the Leos doesn't want that person, then for basically the way this language reads is that it has to be done jointly.
But it's government board. It's not one Leo. One Leo can't.
But basically, it basically is usurping the authority that the board has per the law.
But they could just not allocate the budget, and couldn't do it. They could stop us that way.
If that's what they want to do.
It's not what
I know that's not the intent. But I'm trying to get this to be as streamlined as possible and to be representative of what the law says.
Okay.
The law doesn't say that it will be done jointly.
Okay.
Now, the intention is for us to do this as a partnership. But that was the intention in the past, and it was prohibited.
No. I was former chair and could have hired staff at that point. We decided to not spend the extra money. We have an excellent ad group that I was very proud to work with. We got a whole ton done, got a lot of things cleared up. And I still feel very good about working with the ad as we are currently. Well, we can change that going forward, fine. But my opinion and my vote on this issue would match Matt's, that we can leave this in if you are suggesting that we leave it in so we can resolve.
And if we leave it in, if that's the vote, we're finished. We've got this.
Correct.
We've got the agreement.
And we have 5-1 to leave it in.
And so, basically, this has been one of the contention points from the beginning. And this has been one of the things that has been identified with the administration in the prior administration, the current administration, that this was one of the significant points.
It's not 5-1.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
You are against it?
No. I am hearing what Kim has to say.
Yes.
Because we are here today and we have had so much dissent because it did not function well. And the results did not meet the expectations of the users. And one of the reasons for that was that they had no meaningful input. The web board. Tracy, when you came on board, it may have changed. But it did not function that way before.
Understood. There was a lot of cleanup.
Okay.
It was a mess.
Now, you're assuming that everything's going to be kumbaya and it's going to be managed just like you did in the way that it has been described, that the governing board has the authority to make the staff decisions. Now, the way I view it is, the budget is approved by the governing board. That's the point where the governing board can say no. All right, but I don't know why we want to micromanage it down into, if the governing board says yes to the budget, then why do we micromanage them out of their authority? That's, I'm just casting it the way that I'm looking at it right now. I could be persuaded differently, perhaps, but I know where we've been.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Mike, I remember something you said. I don't remember the first person that's been in Bourbon County that's been given a job through this. I remember that. You said that at a meeting. Now, maybe I misinterpreted you. But that's the way I feel about it, too. And I think people want to see significant, meaningful changes and results. And if we take away all their authority, and basically, I mean, all their authority, I mean, if we take away, if we remove their authority to at minimum be engaged in this kind of decision, then it seems like to me we're putting them right back where they were, which is no real meaningful authority. Now, as I said, I'd be persuaded differently. But I'm just expressing the point of view from translating some of what Kim's saying and saying that it has some merit to it.
Current language indicates that we all have a part in it, right? And so I'm not sure what the problem with that is.
Yeah.
The concern is that you wouldn't want the Leos, whoever that might be, and they can change depending on election cycles. You wouldn't want them to be able to block or object to any particular person to be hired. Is that way?
Well, I mean, that's the reality of the issue.
So that, you know, that was a problem in the past. It was the relationship with the staff here at the AD, the workforce staff. And you know, I don't know all the history, and I wasn't involved with it, so I'm trying to make sure I understand your perspective when you talk about the past, right, and how it didn't work.
The past is the board in the past has previously tried to hire staff. And they were not allowed to do that.
Okay.
I don't think they were. I don't think they did try. There was talk of it, but I don't think that they did move forward and try to actually hire. There was discussion about it. Should we hire?
You're talking about your predecessor's tenure,
yeah,
and Daryl,
yeah.
Daryl's tenure.
Yeah, I don't know that. And because the lady we had working who left, etc., and then Chris Cheney, not Chris, but Turley, was hired. But I don't remember that the previous group before I came on board did try to hire, but there was discussion, but they were never told they couldn't, and they never put out an RFP for that person or anything. So they were never prohibited from hiring staff. It was a discussion on whether we should or not. And then we decided to work with the state, clear up all the issues, and work with the group that we had. Many of the programs that we had were top-notch and were adopted by other ads, etc. There was a lot going on there. So
one thing in here, though, if I could read out the last sentence, and it says, you know, if the WIF essentially requires staff to do things essentially solely for the function of the WIF, what we have to do there and what we're saying, if we leave that in there, is saying that we need to essentially justify and have the business case in place to go get approval. It isn't saying in that sentence that we have to have them to interview and review and approve the hire of that person. We're talking about a budget line there. And so that's where I think that maybe we're getting a little bit off topic, but we have to say that we're trying to focus our money and focus our energy in serving the community. And if we need that money to be allocated for internal staff versus in some of these programs, we have to create a business case such to justify it. And as long as we get that approved, we can go do that. But the named resource isn't required. The approval of that person individually is not required. We just have to make a business case. So that's, again, why I'm okay with it. Because they own the budget.
So you're going to go back, Matt, you're going to come back and make the business case. So you're okay with going through the budget process first and then the confirmation of the selection as well? Did I hear you correctly?
Well, I think this sentence in here doesn't say that we have to present to you the description of the need and the budget for the position.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the way I read it. You have to say that, yes, that is valid. You need that person. That's going to drive extra training, efficiency, whatever it is. We can justify it. But it doesn't say, essentially, in here that I read it, maybe I'm reading it wrong, that you actually are a part of the interview process for that staff that we're asking for extra. You're just interested very much in the results of the hiring that person, right? I mean, you want to see that training efficiency. You want to see this is the best use of your funds. You want to see that that's valid. So I mean, I think this is a budget question, which we all, I think, agree on, not an interviewing a person question.
Well, I was maybe misinterpreting him because I was thinking it was including the selection, the interview, the interviewing process, and so forth. I thought that's what I heard you say. Because you don't want to exceed the authority or the accountability.
Well, yes, but I'm reading this clearly two different ways here. As I read this, and if I were interpreting it, I would say once if the WIB board comes and says we need staff and we approve that, that gets approved, it puts in the budget.
Right.
I don't see us. I mean, and the way this is written, I don't see us having approval over that staff.
That's
But the key staff that run the program. I'm sorry, Matt.
Sorry, it says that within the administrative support, the hiring of the director and our key management boards, these are the shared resources. That's a partnership process. But if you go down to the if the WIV requires staff devoted solely, that is what it looks like. It's just a budget approval based on a business case that we present to you. That's not a review, an interview, or anything else. So
that's the way I read that, too.
It's two separate things.
Yeah, that's the way I read that, too. I don't disagree with that.
It's just a description of the need, and a budget for the position will be presented and approved.
And I think down there in the blacked out section, and are approved in advance, I read that to modify the phrase cost associated with bluegrass WIB staffing. Am I reading this incorrectly? Mike, am I reading that incorrectly?
I don't think so. That's what I would think.
So I agree with you. I think that that's there. But I think if we could probably very quickly agree fundamentally to be being left in there because that's a budget item that we have to do according to anything. And then now we have to make sure under C that we understand that blacked out section is there. But I read that as the budget as well, but you've already approved the budget. And we're not going to go hire staff and then go ask for money later. We're going to get that pre-approved, and then that charge will be allocated to that line item.
But if we go back to the beginning of that blackout section, that the director and or key management board support positions will be done jointly by the representatives of the governing board executive committee, the WIB, and the entity providing administrative support. So we didn't do that. And so then it goes on. You know, if we want to hire staff,
solely for the WIB,
right?
Then we can
it's
just
be budgeted,
right. and the business case made, and then they approve that. But they don't tell us who it is. They can't approve who it is. It just says we want to hire Secretary, you know, of the Interior, whatever. Here's the description of it. Here's how much we want to pay them. We don't even have to tell them who it is, and they say, okay, great. So they're not, if I'm understanding correctly, Matt, is that how you're reading it too?
That's how I execute it. I mean, I think as we talk about that business case, we have to talk about any business case has to have desired outcomes.
Sure.
And we have to have those outcomes most likely well-defined enough that they're going to approve the business case. And that most likely is going to include to say, this is the resource that we're hiring in such a way that we can feel confident that they will reach those outcomes. And why? And that probably is going to include a resume. It's probably going to include some review, but it's not. It's more around the business case as a vision of this than it is actually doing an interview process.
So can I ask a question? We've got an A, we've got a B, and then we've got the part here. If WIB requires, what if we made that to clarify? If that became the C and then that was D, would that make it clearer, do you think, Kim? That it's kind of separated from the director and key and the WIB and all that? That it just says, if the Bluegrass WIB requires staff devoted solely to assist in carrying out function of the WIB, a description of the need and the budget be presented for approval. They're not named, they're not anything. It makes it a C So it's separated from the B part. They don't go together.
Which is what the other column says. The WIB may hire staff for limited purposes for assisting with these duties so long as the costs associated with the staffing are reasonable and allowable. And they have to be allowable. They have to be in the budget to be allowable.
So they're kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, so I guess my point is, why are we complicating it, putting the extra stuff in there?
Because it's been, as you said, a point of contention from the beginning. The emphasis is on joint and a collaborative effort. To take it out would imply that you don't see it as a joint or collaborative effort. And
it doesn't say they approve.
But then the second is a separate issue. If you see that there's a need for staff solely devoted to the WIB, then you do have to present that budget and the need, and it would need to be approved.
Would that be enough compromise that if we make that a C, it's separate from that?
I'm not following.
You're saying
A
C would be beginning with if the Bluegrass WIB requires staff devoted solely.
That's C. And then C becomes D. The WIB shall perform duties assigned by WIOA in Section 107. So it's separated out as a separate point, which is clearer. It's not now muddied by the top part of director or key management board joint support positions. That's a separate item. So right here, make this C and make this D.
I think that helps myself.
I see what you're saying.
So B stops at board the WIB and the entity providing mutual support unless any party elects to forego participation in the process. Done. That whole idea is done. New thought. C, if WIB requires staff devoted solely to assist in carrying out function of the Bluegrass WIB, a description of a need and the budget for the position shall be presented to the Governor's Board Executive Committee for approval, period. We're asking them to add it as a line item, and they say, yes, we see you need that, great, but we're not running people by them. We decide who it is, everything. They've just decided, yes, add it to the budget, and that's what your intent is, great, go for it. So it makes it separate, and it deals with what you're trying to say. We're saying to them, this is reasonable and allowable, and we need it, and they say, okay, put it in the budget, because they've got the last say on the budget. Matt, what would your thought be on that?
No, I agree. And to Kim's point about, you know, if you find somebody that's greater than sliced bread, which is difficult to imagine, right, because sliced bread's awesome. That, you know, I think as we go through that process, then it's just, you know, we have to convince the board that based on the outcome we're trying to achieve, this is the person necessary to go do that and you know, get that line item approved. But I agree. I think this is just a budget exercise. This is an interview exercise.
So this is C, and then this is D.
You know, from a HR manager's perspective, you know, I was a third line manager at IBM. We give the first line managers the flexibility to hire whoever they wanted to hire, and if those people performed, I never had any issue with those decisions. I never challenged or questioned those decisions. Now, if those people screwed up and caused us to lose business or caused a problem with the customer, the first thing I would do, we'd get rid of the manager, the first line manager. And the point being, there had to be some way to fix that problem, right? That worked fine as long as that person performed, as long as they did the job, and that's what you're talking about here. You're talking about someone that would be reasonable and perform the duties as they were assigned, whatever those were. I don't mean to imply that the Leos are senior managers or anything like that. I'm not trying to add importance to the role, but I think we have to have a say in the consequences of hiring decisions.
And you pick the board members. You pick smart people to help make these decisions,
right,
to come up with the policies and do that.
Right.
We have a very high-level, excellent group of people. very smart, all wanting to get things done, all wanting to work together. We've already got a transition set going from Kim to now our vice president, Matt, which was what it was set up, that you'd have the vice president or the, you know, vice chair work with the chair, and then to keep that going by being vice chair and then becoming chair. So I think we're getting back on the process and where you want to go with that. And this is your, this was what you approved already. We're just changing this to a C.
The history is a problem, right? The concerns about what happened in the past. That's the mayor's concern, that's Kim's concern. I can't argue with one way or the other because I wasn't there. I don't have an answer to that. We want to look forward. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with, I don't want to be involved in every minute detail of that process. I don't have time to be involved in every minute detail of that process.
And you don't want to discourage those who are responsible.
I don't want to discourage those who are responsible.
Right.
But I am going to be held accountable.
Right.
And if there is some negative effect of that decision,
right,
I have to retain the ability to take an action to balance.
Okay. That. So you're not part of the hiring necessarily. You weren't necessarily part of the hiring as an IBM HR guy, right?
Correct.
Right. But
you can be part of the dismissal.
You can zero out the line item on the budget. You have a termination process for people on the board. So I think you have a way to get rid of the staff if it doesn't work out, as well as getting rid of the people that are making the decisions that you don't like. It's just not listed here in this partnership agreement. It's more in the bylaws of our agreement and whatnot.
Yeah, to Matt's point, we do have that underlining foundation of the interlocal agreement, the bylaws, etc. This is on top of that, on how we're going to work together.
I have to tell you, I think this, using your solution, was to just take it and make that a C.
And then the C becomes
a D. And leave the rest of it intact. I read it that, you know, once we've approved somebody that's exclusively for the web,
the line item,
that once that's done,
the name of the position.
I don't want to get into hiring that person, but if it's somebody that's providing joint services, then
that's,
I think,
separate.
We need to be a part of that.
Right,
and,
but this
but I don't really,
separate.
I can't take much issue with what
we
Kim
asked for the budget. This is the name of the position. It's up to us to fill it and get who we want.
I can't see much wrong with that. But
Matt, would that be okay if we made that C?
Yeah, I think that makes it clear. I think that's good.
Tim, does that make it clear?
I mean, all you're doing is putting a new letter in. So.
No, it's separating the thought. They are not joined now. So there's, it gets rid of the ambiguity of does one affect the other. So it sets it out to clarify it.
I said earlier I could be, when I made my comments, I said I could be persuaded differently. And I think I'm there based on the authority that the governing board has to make its evaluation on the budget. That's what this is saying.
Right.
It's just clarifying that that's what this is, that that's what the governing board's authority is.
I believe the Leos would approve that. I believe they would approve it with these changes. And then I think we've got a partnership agreement, which we haven't had for 2 years.
So we're good with a C? Matt's good with a C? I'm good with a C? Mayor?
Good with it.
Yep. Judge McKinney?
I'm good with it.
Judge Williams?
Yes,
Kim, please. Are you good with C? Putting in the C?
Well, it doesn't matter if I do or not, so.
Okay.
Then we're still going. Set up.
Okay. But it is important, no matter if the vote was 3-3 or 4-2, it's important that we move forward and work together.
Absolutely.
Right. And that you see the. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And do what's best for the people of Fayette County and Bull County and Irving County and Powell County and wherever.
And somewhere in here, there is, and I'll never find it, but there's the statement that we can amend this from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
The agreement may be amended by written consent of the web and the governing board.
Right. This just gives us a starting thing.
But I think we need an agreement. I think we've had 2 years for that.
And it does demonstrate, despite, you know, I think we remember and just remind ourselves that this work, despite how difficult it can be, that we certainly know a whole lot more about this than we did before. Right? Yeah. And that should be some illustration and demonstration of the commitment.
And here's something else.
The shared values.
That when we sit down together and talk through, in the same instead of back to you, that we can explain what we mean and find out that we're really a lot closer than we thought, and we now have a partnership agreement. And I would like to add an update that I am head of the Strategic Planning Committee. There's a meeting on the 21st that we're bringing in, looking at the Medicaid issue, that we're going to have 96,000 people that are going to have to be certified in order to continue to get their benefits. A huge problem. And for our area, like Nicholas County, we have people that can hardly get to the doctor in town, let alone if they have to go to the one-stop center. So we've called a meeting with the committee to start looking into, to be able to report back to the whole board. None of the other ads have started addressing this problem, but we've got the head of community action out of Lexington, Malcolm, should I forget his name?
Ratchford.
Thank you. Who's going to be part of. The other idea was to get the Chamber of Commerce's involved, and we've also invited our one-stop operator, United Way, to start trying to get ahead of this. Do you remember when I was the chair?
Yeah.
I called him and he said, we're not going to meet these deadlines. We got to get together, etc. I like thinking real far ahead. So, again, just to let you know that we're starting to look at how we can, what we can, etc. Because it's coming like a freight train, and if we don't figure something out, they're just like, oh, sorry, you don't get your benefits anymore. 96,000 people in our ad district. So
I want to know where we are procedurally now. So I understand we take this back to the WIB and to the, and you will make the changes, and we'll take this. This is, so we'll say this is what we've hammered out, and we recommend this.
Correct.
And then it gets approved. I don't know when the Leos meet again. Do you have any idea?
We're going to have to. You're going to have a special call meeting.
Okay.
Can you do that by phone or not?
I think it's a public meeting, in my opinion. Yeah, I think you have to make it accessible to the public.
But it's possible to do it around the ad executive committee meeting like we did once before.
Hmm. Okay, and that saves us a day.
Yeah. And then WIP has to approve, too.
Yes.
Right. And our meeting is on Tuesday.
Right.
Well, I was getting ready to look at ours. We meet next week, don't we?
No.
The Leos do not. The executive committee meets next week. We're going to have to call a special meeting.
Right. I'm down for the Futurist Conference next week. So.
All right.
But I've made my vote clear. So we're good. So. But I've let you know, and I've let Matt know. So if anybody, you know.
So
let me raise this question.
In the right place.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just very quickly.
Sorry.
Very quickly. So when we look at that best practice model, we look at Kentucky Anna Works, and they have a foundation that gets, that brings additional resources into the area to be able to provide even more resources and support and activities and things like that. There's the opportunities that are being aligned right now is very likely going to be able to set up something like that here if we want to, in fact, do that.
And do you know that Mabel and her position as the ad got how much additional money?
From $6 million to $33 million in 3 years.
Additional grants, exactly what you're talking about. In her past ad job, she went after those grants, just like you're talking about. And went from what again?
$6 million to $33 million.
So, love that concept. We can do it with what we have here, or if we decide to do another group.
So, go ahead. What is there? Some foundation out there that there's money? Is that what you're saying?
There are foundations out there. There is a move to totally restructure the way all the federal dollars come in to be able to get the best return on the investment and being able to allocate them more effectively above and beyond what comes in just for WIOA, because there are 26 different revenue streams for workforce that come in just from government activities into the state. And there's not a return on most of that investment is what's being identified. There are private foundations out there that want to support good workforce development to duplicate processes. And that's what we've been trying to set up in the background as business for the last 10 years to be able to do things effectively. So given what we've done today and the what could potentially come in the future, you know, those are all dollars that you guys are not on the hook for that. And so that's part of the reason we're trying to get these things streamlined and to provide the necessary resources to be able to truly affect those. So I guess my question to you is, if we end up having funds outside of WIOA dollars, again, this is a partnership, but having maybe constraints on, you know, governmental constraints on trying to leverage private and business dollars can sometimes be a hiccup, where folks won't invest because of that. And so I guess I'm just throwing this out there as food for thought, that we don't want to hand-tie ourselves in process that will basically keep us from being able to bring even more resources to your communities to help the citizens and the businesses of this region. So I just want to put that on the table so that you think about that as we move forward.
Okay. That's good.
Time to go home? I think I hear the county calling me.
Thanks, Kim.
Kim, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all very much.
Mayor, you can take care. Don't let fire and fury rain down on you. Gosh.
All right. See you later.
I just wanted to, you know, you said the 21st, that meeting's on the 23rd. I just wanted to make sure that you had the 20. I went in and double checked. This is the 23rd because that's when I'm in Louisville. So.
2-4
on the 23rd.
I got the time right, the date wrong.
Okay. Flawlessly.
Well, if I come in on the 23rd, I'll come back to the 23rd. Something.